Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of
Ecclesiastes chapter 9,
what he's really saying, which is very true, that even those that belong to God are still sinning here in this world. He says, one event is unto all. He said, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. That is something, brothers and sisters, that we all need yet to learn, even as believers today. That we cannot improve our human nature. There is a declaration by the Lord that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why he's saying the heart of the sons of men, Bnei Adam, is full of evil. And madness is in their heart while they live. And after, they go to the dead. Because sin brought death. And the truth of the matter that already in the beginning, God have declared in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, this interesting declaration. He said, and I want to read this to you. God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The word continually in the Hebrew text in our mother's tongue is kol hayom, all the day long. It is a declaration of God about all humanity, even the believer, even the saved one. We have an all sinful nature, but we receive forgiveness because we have accepted the sacrifice of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. But one thing for sure, the destiny of all humanity is eventually death. The Hebrew word death is mavet. Mavet is simply mean a separation of the body and the soul and the spirit. Every man, every woman, every person will ultimately leave this scene through the separation of the body from the spirit and the soul. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Of course, there is an exception, like we mentioned before. Hanoch Enoch was an exception. He walked with God and God took him. Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet, was an exception. God have taken him out of here. And we believe in the rapture of the church. Those that are remain alive will be raptured to be taken outside of this scene to the presence of the Lord. But normally, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So Solomon declared in verses 1, 2, and 3 that death will happen to all. No one will escape this appointment with the Lord. All will ultimately have to die. The righteous, the unrighteous, the clean and the unclean, the one who sacrifices and the one who does not sacrifice, the one who sweareth and the one who fear to make an oath. All will eventually going to have to depart out of this scene. So he continue now in verses 4, 5, and 6. And he pointing Israel to the fact that while we live, we still have hope here. While we're still alive, we're breathing and we are living here in this world, as long that man is alive, here and now we make the decisions. Here and now we have hope. We have an assurance from God. Oftentimes somebody says, you know what? I will decide later on. I don't have to make a decision right now. And some even teach that there is what you call purgatory, that you can change your position from being in one place after death to change to another place. And if somebody will pay enough money and he pray enough for you, you can be shifted from one area to another area after death. But that is not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we are to accept the Lord today while we are still alive. That we are to live for the Lord today while we are still living here in this world. And so notice what he says in verse 4. When one is alive, he has hope. Hope to repent, hope to live for God, hope to change his manner. Notice that in verse 4, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. He makes a comparison. You see, as long as the person is alive, there is hope. There is hope that something will happen. He can give glory to God here on earth. If he or she are unbelievers, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Turn to Yeshua the Messiah today. But for the believers, you know, we can change our ways. You know, like, again, I always loved the story of the prodigal son who left his father, but he turned back and he returned to his father. He changed his ways. He didn't continue in a wrong way too long. After a while, he turned back and he went back to his father's house. So, for to him that is joined unto all the living, you were born into this world, you become part of the living here, well, listen, there is hope. Again, the word hope in Hebrew, here it's not tikvah, it's a different word here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4. The word is bitachon. The word bitachon means assurance. There is an assurance. If we will turn away and walk with God and live for Him and have godly wisdom here on earth, there is an assurance that you can change your way and God will reward you. He will ultimately bless you. Because really, it is better to have a living dog than to have a dead lion. Why does he make this comparison? Because a lion is the king of the forest. A dog is considered to be in biblical days as a dirty animal, as an animal that be left outside of the house. We're not bringing dogs into the house without their dogs, we read in Scripture. But, of course, today we have dogs in our homes and we love those animals. They are men's best friend, the dog. We know that. But in the Bible, the dog is looked upon as one that is an unclean animal. That's how the Bible described the dog. And if you remember when David came to King Shaul in 1 Samuel 24, he says, "Why do you run after a dead dog?" When Mephibosheth came to David's table in 2 Samuel chapter 9, Mephibosheth said to David, "How can you consider me a dead dog to sit in your table?" They have looked upon themselves and they said, "You see, I am not worthy of what you are providing for me and doing for me." So here Shlomo is saying, listen, even a living dog, not a dead dog, is better than a dead lion. Why? Because there is hope. There is hope to change your mannerism. There is a hope to turn the unbelievers, turn to the Lord. There is a hope, there is an assurance that something can happen and you will live your life for God. So King Shlomo is really setting before Israel facts that are needed to be learned as they live there in those days. And so he continues, and he says in verses 5 and 6, he says, listen, death ends all relationship and all rewards and all the portion that we might have here in this world. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, when we pass out of this scene, we can no longer make decisions for God. We can no longer change our ways. We can no longer glorify God because we leave this scene, that's it. Beyond the grave, we cannot make any more decisions how to live for God, because once we have died, The believers, we are absent from the body and we are present with the Lord. And all what we have done on earth, the way we live our lives, that's it. It will end. We cannot change it anymore. If we were living in a wrong way, we cannot change it after death, after we passed away. When we're going to get to the grave, we cannot kind of return back and say, whoa, I wish I could change my behavior later on. We can't. It's too late. It's too late. It is here and now that our life is counting for the Lord. And so notice I'm reading verses 5 and 6. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead knows not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Yesterday we studied Isaiah chapter 38. There was a very godly man. In fact, the godliest king of Judah was a man by the name of Hezekiah. God said to him through the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah says, Hezekiah, set your house in order, for you will die and you will not live. So the whole chapter 38, nearly the whole chapter, Hezekiah is praying to God. And he rehearsing before the reader how he felt when God told him, get ready. Set your house in order. You are going to die. You are going to leave this scene. So he shared and he says, when you ask me, God, when you told me this, I didn't want to leave this world. I wanted to continue my life here on earth. God, remember how I lived before and how I honored thee and I never violated your word. And indeed, beloved brothers and sisters, Hezekiah was a godly man. You read about him in 2 Kings chapter 18, and you will see that there was no godliest king among the people of Judah, the tribes of Judah, as godly as Hezekiah, not before him nor after him. He was a man of God. But he wanted to continue to live here longer. He didn't want to pass out of this scene. But that was a mistake. Because when God says, time for you to go home, he knows the best time. But Hezekiah wanted to live longer. So the Lord have extended his life for another 15 years. But you know, beloved brothers and sisters, the later part of his life was not the same as the previous life portion that he lived for God. Later on, he failed. He was not in the same spiritual condition as he was when God told him, set your house in order. You are going to die. You are not going to live. And Hezekiah wanted to remain longer here. But you see, when one leaves this world, he has no longer any impact upon this world. As he says, the living know that they should die. Everybody know one day I'll die, one day I'll die, one day I'll die. But they don't recognize that it may be today. So they carry on in their own mannerism, in their own way, and they neglect to make things right with God, to serve God better, to live for the Lord better, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better father, to be a better friend, to be a better brother or a sister. They neglect it. To share the message of the gospel, to be more kind, to love more, to have more grace, to be more forgiving. We neglect that. And therefore, as it says here, that once they die, they know not anything anymore. Neither do they have any more reward, for their memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion anymore here on earth, under the sun. They have no impact anymore. You see, our time here on earth is limited. When a believer, when a person leaves this scene, that's it. No more any ability to have any portion in what's going on here under the sun, tachat ha-shemesh. They can no longer share the gospel. They can no longer tell their children or their wife or their husband, I love you. They cannot fix a friction that they had with a brother or a sister. All the wrong that they have done, they cannot correct it. We cannot correct it. It's too late. And Shlomo, with all the failure that he had before that, he is now telling our people of old Israel, Israel, remember now your Creator when you are young and realize that when you're going to die, which is the portion of all people, you're no longer going to have an impact. You're going to be outside of this scene, of this world. And so how amazing to see the wisdom of Solomon and the information that he's able to give Israel. Israel, remember that death will happen unto all people, the righteous and the unrighteous, but also Israel, there is a fact that while we live here, there is hope to make changes. I'm sure, brothers and sisters, that there are things that we need to make changes in our life, each one of us. Don't you think, beloved? There are certain things that we need to change. Certain things that we need to be corrected. Now is the opportunity for us, not later on. We cannot correct things later on. When we leave these scenes, too late. It is too late. It is here and now that we can give our time more for the Lord. We can give our energy more for the things of the Lord. We can use the gifts that God had given to us, spiritual gift that God had given us to give to the people of God, to serve the Lord. Cannot do it later on. It's too late. Solomon said it to Israel. And you and I can hear this from the Apostle Paul, from New Testament teachers as well. Paul said, always to be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our time is going to come very soon. The time is at hand. The Messiah might come at any time. We will not be able to serve him anymore later on. To live for the Lord today. To live for God today. And so he continues now. And in verses 7 to 10, he is encouraging Israel that while we live here under the sun, and there is so much vanity and problems here in this world, enjoy what God has given to you, but do it with God. Don't do it without Him. So notice in the next verses, it says here in verses 7, 8, and 9, go and enjoy what God has given unto you, but do it with Him, not without Him. He says, go thy way, verse 7, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy work. When you do it with God sanctioning it, He has given us things to enjoy here in this world. He continues in verse 8, let thy garment be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. In other words, be always in a normal way that you can be prepared for celebration and for feast, but do it as unto the Lord. Don't set Him aside. Verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, because we're living here in this vain world, which He has given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which you taketh under the sun. You notice, you might say the three F, food, feast, and family. Food, eat and drink, and enjoy what God had given to you. Feasts, let thy garment be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. In other words, enjoy the feasts. Usually when you have a white garment, you would fit into a celebration, the feasts of the Lord. And thirdly, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the day and all this life. Even if it is a vain and a sad and a sin-sick world, thank God for the food He provided, for the feasts and the celebration He provided, and also for the family, our wives and husbands and children and family. He mentioned here the wife whom thou lovest all the day of thy vanity. In other words, God had provided for us relationships. Paul, Shaul, elaborate about it in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wife. As the Messiah loved the assembly and gave himself for her. Wives, be subject unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And he always builds upon relationship. And beloved brothers and sisters, this world in which we live in have so many broken homes, broken relationships. And there's no enjoyment of the things of God together with the family, with the brothers and sisters, and to celebrate God's provision for us. Men think that they can celebrate, but leave God out. Don't bother me in my life. Don't enter into my life. And that's why there's so much sad evil that is happening, because God is not the center of the life of God's people. And so eat thy bread with joy. Notice the word joy mentioned many times. With joy eat thy bread. Drink thy wine with a merry heart. Notice verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. In other words, he is admitting. As he began the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. What profit has a man of all that he labor, which he taketh under the sun? He said in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. In other words, he admitting that in this world of sin, there are problems. It's vain, there are sadness that is going on. But God's people, who are still part of this world, really can live for God as if they are out of this world and live for the Lord and enjoy God's provision, yet God will be the center of their life. And notice, brothers and sisters, another thing that is interesting here in verse 10, whatever you do, he says, do it from your heart, do it as unto the Lord. I'm reading verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with thy might. In other words, do it from your heart for the Lord. Do whatever you do as unto the Lord, he's saying. In every area that you are involved with, do it as unto the Lord. Why? He says, look what happened. Verse 10. B, for there is no work, there is no device, there is no knowledge, there is no wisdom in the grave, whither thou art going. See, when you're going to go to the grave, when you're going to die, there you don't need any more work to do. There you don't need any device or to calculate what to do. There you don't need any more knowledge. Therefore, you don't have the need for wisdom there. When we leave this scene, that's it. We cannot any longer do anything for God. It is only here and now. And I notice that he used the word in the grave, at the end of verse 10, in the grave whither thou goest. He used the word grave here. For some reason, it's not really accurate, because the word grave in Hebrew is kever. But here the word grave is the word sheol. Sheol is the place of the departed spirits. All people who die leave this world, their bodies in the grave, but their spirit and their soul going to Sheol. In Old Testament time, it was Sheol. The New Testament call it Hades. Hades. But even in Hades, before the Messiah died, there were more than one compartment. There was a portion of the godly, and was the portion of the ungodly. There were the portion of the believers, and there were the portion of the unbelievers. You remember the story that we read in Luke 16. Lazarus, Eliezer, and the rich man. When Eliezer died, he was carried to Abraham's bosom. This is paradise. This is the good part of Sheol. But when the rich man died, he was buried, he've gone to the bad part of Sheol. It says in Hades, the same place as Sheol in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew scripture. And what did he do in Hades? He cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Eliezer that he will dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented here. And Father Abraham said to the rich man that went to the evil, to the sad part, to Hades, where all the unbelievers, they said to him, you know, in your lifetime, you had good, but Eliezer had it bad. But now, after death, you're going to have evil and he has it good. And you cannot come to here, neither he can go to you. Things are too late. For the unregenerated, it is too late. And so, Shlomo, Solomon, is using the word grave, which is actually the Hebrew word Sheol, is the place of the departed spirits. In this case, for the believer, is in a good place, paradise, Abraham's bosom. But later on, beloved brothers and sisters, when Yeshua came, he himself emptied this place, this Sheol, from the righteous one, and he took them to be with him. And today, when a person, a believer, dies, he or she are absent from the body, and they are present with our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Such a wonderful lesson to learn. But the Old Testament saints were limited with the information. They did not have the information that you and I have today after Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, had come, had died, was buried, was raised, was ascended, and sent the Holy Spirit of God to dwell here upon this earth.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.